Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is your host, David Murphy, from the National Black Unity News. Today is a wonderful day. As far as I'm concerned, it's a great day because I'm in it. I'm still here. And what a blessing that is. And today, ladies and gentlemen, we have a couple of guest speakers that will be bringing forth some information. And before we get into our guests, I'm going to bring my co-hosts on, Brother Satavi Jahi, who always has something positive to share with us. Brother Satavi, you got it, sir.
All right. Thank you, David. As we do each and every time we come on these airways, we do a reading from Daily Motivations for African American Success, written by Mr. Dennis Kimbrough, who is also the author of Think and Grow Rich, A Black Choice, which is a manuscript for eliminating poverty in our families. And the reading for the day goes like this. December the 5th, Lifesavers. When you knock on opportunity's door, make sure your bags are packed. Dennis Green, former NFL head coach. A man risked his life by swimming through a tumultuous riptide to save a youngster being swept out to sea. After the child recovered from the harrowing experience, he said to the man, "Thank you for saving my life." The man looked into the boy's eyes and said, "That's okay, kid. Just make sure your life was worth saving." You and I have a life that is calling us. We have a mission that each of us must fulfill in our own way. My life is in my hands, and what you make of your precious time on earth is up to you. Others may show you the way to walk and give you inspiration to walk my path. But in the final analysis, only I can do the walking. When you do not follow your calling to the life you were born to live, there remains a gap in the universe. There will be a space in your heart, a tiny ache, calling you to be more. You know that you are more. There will be a gift to the world left undelivered. In recent years, there has been a great deal of attention paid to near-death experiences. There are fascinating accounts of people who have been clinically dead for a short period of time and then returned to life. I think it might even be more urgent to do a study of near-life experiences. The question is not, is there life after death? The question that begs asking, is there life before death? We all need to be present and accounted for in life. Today, I'm alive and well. There's a calling in my heart, and I will make my life worthwhile. It's so important that we embrace each day. As you always like to say, David, hey, I'm still here, still standing. So many people have gone to the land of the dead. And, you know, they're physically dead, but based on the experiences that they left, they live in our hearts forever. So I want to make sure while we're alive that we answer our calling, the purposes that we have, and that we have chosen, that we do what we need to do to fulfill them. I got a couple of things I'm working on, and I'm working hard every day, each day, to fulfill them and make them come true. So with that said, David, back to you.
I appreciate that, sir. It's always good to hear from you and hear the good news. But you know, while you was talking, I know people heard this story, especially those been around, but it just came to mind. And sometimes I go what's inspiring me at the moment. You know, I don't write scripts or anything. You know, I just, what you see is what you get. And that's just the way I come to people. But something just came over me, and it's a story. And I know probably many of you heard it, but they had different versions of it. It was about the lighthouse keeper. And a friend of mine, one of the editors of the National Black Unity News, shared this story with me about a month or two ago. And it hit me like a ton of bricks because at that time, you know, just as mere humans, even though some of us are, how would you say, spiritual, very spiritual about this and about that. And some of us, you know, have different ways of worship. But, you know, tell people that I'm sent. And for me personally, I do believe in God. And those who already know me know the works that I do is that I consider myself a servant of servants. I serve people who actually serve people. But in that capacity of serving people, sometimes you forget about yourself sometimes. And when she told me the story about the lighthouse keeper, she used it, I heard it in different forms, but she used it in a godly term. She said one day God commissioned this gentleman to run the lighthouse. And God gave this gentleman enough oil just for a month, and then he will renew it every month. But all he had to do was just keep the light on. And so one day, a young lady came to him and said to him that she had some children, and they was hungry. And she just needed just a little bit of oil, just a little bit, to cook some food for her family. So this gentleman was very compassionate. That's why God commissioned him in the first, because he's a very compassionate person. And so he gave her a little bit of oil. And then a little while later, another gentleman approached him, and he said that he had a farm, and he had a tractor that if he didn't, you know, farm his fields, that he couldn't feed the village. By that gentleman being so compassionate, he gave him a little bit of oil. To make a long story short, by the end of, before the end of the month approached, the lighthouse light went out. Fortunately, thousands of people died. Ships ran into each other. They ran to shore. And God called them and asked him why didn't he keep the light on. And the gentleman started giving the excuses, well, this lady and this man, and, you know, first of all, God stopped him and said, first of all, it was not your oil to give. And he said, because you wasn't obedient, thousands of people paid the price. And so when she told me this story, like I said, it hit me like a ton of bricks. Because I mentioned to you that I call myself a servant, and I serve a lot of people, a lot of good people, people doing great and wonderful things. But if you're not careful, you may not have enough oil for yourself to keep your own lights on, keep your own light burning. And I have met many people along the years who have got burned out, who gave up, who gave in. And so for those of you who are listening to me, remember, it's good to serve. It is good to help our fellow man, but make sure you take care of you, yourself, and yours. It is powerful because, like I said, we all have a mission, whether you believe it or not. We all are on a mission. You may not recognize it yet, but you are. And so with that being said, ladies and gentlemen, I want to welcome everybody to our podcast this evening. It's been a great and wonderful day. You know, life is good. It's all the way you look at it. And tonight, you know, I met a couple of weeks ago. I met some wonderful people. And you see, for those who don't know, you know, we here tonight. We publish a newspaper called the National Black Unity News. And this publication is a nationwide, and that has gone beyond that. You know, a lot of people in different areas all around the world has taken interest into the publication. And that's a good thing. See, my vision was, you know, that was given to me. And like I say, the publication comes by divine inspiration. And so the vision that I was given was just nationwide. But, you know, when you're on a journey, sometimes you don't know where you go. Just be obedient to the calling, and you just stay on that road. And it's a good thing that's taking place. But while I was on a call, one of the gentlemen I met from England, he had this brother on there, Mr. Troy Richardson. And Mr. Troy Richardson, a couple of weeks later, invited me to his platform. And I met some wonderful people there as well. this brother, man, is, you know, what I call a kindred spirit. He's a worker. He's a soldier from my perspective. Putting in work, he's blessing people. This brother is on a mission. And I'm so pleased to have him with us this evening. Because sometimes we get weary in the things that we do sometimes. And it's just so refreshing that you see somebody out there who's putting in work just as hard as you and so needed. And we know our situation, ladies and gentlemen. You know, we on a battlefield that, and we need every man, woman, and child. You know, this is serious stuff that's taking place. I'm talking about black melanated people. And if we don't start connecting with one another, supporting one another, lifting each other up, sharing our stories, sharing our gifts and our talents so that we can bless our people. So, you know, but in any case, getting back to this brother, that's exactly what he does. And Mr. Troy Richardson, I hope, you know, I want you to unmute yourself, sir.
Can you hear me?
Yes, sir, loud and clear. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to introduce you to this king, this warrior, this powerful brother doing powerful things, Mr. Troy Richardson. Mr. Richardson does so much, I'm going to let him tell you who he is, what he does, and why he do it. I'm going to turn it over to this brother, you know, and if anybody, just let him speak. And if you have any questions or anything like that, he has some guests with him on it tonight, and welcome to everybody. And if he wants to bring them in, he has to do. And then later on, we're going to bring in Brother Cliff, doing some great and wonderful things as well. And so, Mr. Troy Richardson, introduce yourself, sir, and you got it from here.
Well, first of all praises to the Most High and to my late mother, Dorothy Gray Richardson, the Black Mother Teresa, who just gave me all I am today because of her. And thank you, David, for the platform and the opportunity. It's always just a pleasure to be amongst family. But my name is Troy Richardson, the global inspirational vessel. I'm a global speaker. I'm a global health advocate. I have several business ventures that I have created and founded that I'm extremely proud of, because everything I do was designed to impact lives. As David said, serving those who serve. I feel like I do it at a high level. Recently, in describing myself, in a conversation with one of my good friends, I don't name drop, but I'm just going to name him and give him his flowers while he is still amongst the living. I really believe in that. But legendary actor, director Bill Duke, as I was honoring him, he flipped it on me and said, Troy, all you do, you're a public figure as well as all those other things that people say about you. And I had to think about it, right? Because I'm always deflecting who I am to God, right? I'm never taking credit for nothing. It's either God or my mother. Rarely will I take credit for anything except exercising what God wants me to do. I will take credit for that because I recognize when he puts a plan in me that it's up to me to execute it. So I take credit for that all day, the execution of God's plans, impacting his people, putting them in a better position for prosperity, for health, for safety. These are the things that I'm passionate about. So where do I begin? I'll begin with my LLC, which is the umbrella, the parent for everything else, RCG, Richardson Consulting Group, LLC, is where it all began. And I started that once I left corporate America, after many of us do years of exploitation. One day I just sat down when I came home one night and figured out how much money did I make for others. And I came up with that figure. It was well over $300 million that I had amassed in contracts and revenue for others, making their great, 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 great grandchildren wealthy. And I said, enough. I'm done. The week after that mind-blowing experience, I put in my resignation and asked God what he wanted me to do. I'm a veteran, so God said, work with your veterans. Work with the military. So I designed my LLC to work on the finances first. Let me get my people right in the financial realm of things. So I opened up a financial brokerage where we taught financial literacy. We teach them about retirement, estate planning, protecting their assets. And it went extremely well. Until one day, I came upon a gentleman in his 60s who did not qualify because of his health. And there was nothing I could do. The only thing I could give him was a plan that was so expensive that it was not affordable. So as I was driving home that day, feeling just terrible because I did not leave that man better than I found him. That was the first time that ever happened to me. And I said, it will be the last time. And I went home and prayed and said, God, what can I do? What can I do for others that I'm going to encounter like Wilbur that have poor health and they can't qualify for these plans? God said, you're into health. Teach them what you do. Again, the light bulb went off. I started teaching people about plant-based living. And it worked because soon after, a friend who had no idea what I had just gone through recommended that I take a look at a company that was all about plant-based living. And I did. And I was so just overwhelmed with joy that God put this company in my path at this time that I immediately put that company in my portfolio, and they're still there. And I'm helping not only veterans, I'm helping everyday people turn their life around, turn back disease from diabetes to obesity. You name it, they are living a healthier life, and I'm teaching people how to be an urban farmer by growing fresh produce right in their home. Right over there in my corner, I have my tower, which is growing lettuce, kale, mint leaves, sweet red peppers, zucchini, and broccoli right now. That's what's in season for me. Those are things that I love. But I've grown everything from tomatoes and all kinds of things on my tower. And I teach that to kids. We have them in schools, senior living facilities, part of two coalitions, a national coalition where we're working with the White House and the Congressional Black and Hispanic caucuses. And we're going to go to city. And my part of this coalition is to talk about plant-based living and growing your own fresh fruits and vegetables. And then we have local coalitions where me and one of my good friends, Bishop Vandy Kennedy, 85 years young, he's a traditional farmer, but we are working with the Black mayors of Maryland and delegates and state senators and council men and women in the various jurisdictions on bringing a community initiative together that includes health and nutrition, financial literacy, latchkey aftercare program for the kids that go home to empty homes because their parents are working, and it just leaves a lot of voided time for these kids to get into who knows what, and we know they are. So we put this program together. Actually, we revamped the program he did in 1995, and we're retooling it. We partnered with here, the Maryland National Park and Planning Commission, and this is going to be a robust program working with the Maryland National Guard to have a recruiting aspect in there, working with law enforcement to get law enforcement involved in working with the kids. And this is going to be a national program. We've already had states reach out to us to get an understanding of what this program is all about. So if you're interested in that, please let me know. I can email you a copy of what we did in 1995, and we are retooling that right now to add everything else into it. But it's going to be a robust program that is going to change the landscape of what our urban communities look like, especially for our kids, but for everybody, because parks are going to be upgraded. There's going to be farming included. It's going to be incredible. But then let me talk about my mother, Dorothy Gray Richardson, the Black Mother Teresa. I wanted to honor my mother's legacy in a special way. I do that in everything I do, but I wanted to do something specific for her. So my mother loved her skincare products. I used to get on her all the time because women, you might understand this. She always had a big mirror tray on the top of her dresser and all her products. And I used to get on her and say, Ma, you don't need all that stuff. You're already beautiful. She's like, boy, you don't leave my stuff alone. So one day, one night, early in the morning, about 3 or 4 o'clock, I thought about that. And again, God does this thing with me, man. But I listen, right? I listen. My discernment is sharp. I said, I'm going to design a skincare line for my mother. And I sat out to do that. And after looking at several chemists and biochemists, I met one that I resonated with. She was a woman of God, is a woman of God, and a terrific, beautiful chemist that's been in it over 25 years. She lives and loves plants. Everything she has is plant-based. So we created a Noj, I-N-O-J, inspiring the name of Jesus, all natural vegan skincare line. So proud of that line. We had an unofficial launch. It's going to officially launch in the first quarter of 2023. But I was just honored and blessed to have the spokeswoman, who's an international model, Jennifer Roberts, and she's also a licensed esthetician. I mean, only God could do that. I can't put this stuff together. So that's enough, honoring my late mother, Dorothy Gray Richardson. And ladies, and it's for ladies and men, please ask me about that afterwards, because we got a ridiculous thing going on through the holidays, so you definitely want to check that out. But I sit on the board, executive board member for 4 nonprofits, right? Because it's all about serving. And I have 5 of those nonprofits are attached to a Noj. If you go to INOJ.org, you'll see a Noj giving, and you'll see the charities that we're aligned with, because that was what my mother did. She was a giver. She gave her, literally, she gave her life to give it. As David said, that oil, taking care of yourself, making sure you take care of yourself. My mother didn't do that. My brother had gotten sick with brain cancer, and my mother was so wrapped up and caring for him. Any other time she was really on top of her health, anything go wrong, she's going to the doctor. But this 4-month period, she was just engulfed in taking care of my brother, that lung cancer crept into her. And by the time she found out, it was stage 4. And a month later, she was gone. About 3 weeks after my brother passed, my mother passed. This was like 2008. So taking care of yourself, it's important. It really is important. But 4 nonprofits. I work with a homeless organization out in Los Angeles doing amazing, amazing work. We're getting ready to partner with Volunteers of America and do some tremendous work with that organization. Again, I work with the veterans. There's another organization, the Transplant Coin Gifting of a Lifetime Experience. I hope Trina is on this call so she can talk to a little bit about that, where we're helping transplant recipients pay for the much-needed medication that they will be on for the rest of their life. And I brought some of my celebrity friends onto that campaign with us, actors Julian Brentano, Gilbert Glenn Brown, and the Yo MTV Raps from the MTV show. Dr. Dre is on board, and Bill Duke will be joining that campaign also as we go out here and fight for those transplant organ recipients. And then we have the B-Man, Boys Mentoring Advocacy Network, which is in Lagos, Nigeria. And it's an amazing foundation for boys that Brother Ola is just putting in tremendous work, serving the young boys in Lagos, Nigeria. So we're just doing so much, guys. And then I'm going to end with this because this is near and dear to my heart. This is going to create so many opportunities for a lot of people. My media team, which includes Bill Duke as a senior advisor, an actor, executive producer, Gilbert Glenn Brown is on my team, and many others that are contributing, from writers to playwrights to makeup artists, you name it. They're all integral parts of the RCG media team. But we're developing TV dramas and film, and we're working on our first TV pilot, which is near and dear to my heart because it's about my life with my son, who was a premature baby in the NICU unit. The first 5.5 months of his life, he was in that unit at George Washington University Hospital. Spent every day there for over 5 months. And just trials and tribulations. The relationships, the babies that God took home, they never went home with their parents. So you cry together, you laugh together, you go through so many emotions with that NICU unit that God said, originally, it was going to be a book. Then God said, no, it's got to be a TV drama. So we developed the script 4 years ago, and it was completed about a year ago. And now we're fine-tuning things, but we're close to shooting that pilot episode early 2023. So I always extend this to anybody who wants to get involved with that project, from an investor. You want some equity in a TV drama? You always look at TV. But have you ever had a chance to be literally part TV drama series? So we have that part in there also. If you have a story of a child, you went through that NICU unit, be a contributing producer, give me your story, we'll put you in the credits. So this is going to create a lot of opportunity, folks. But again, we have film, TV. We have two stage plays that are ready to go, and we're just doing so much in the community, guys. I can go on and on and on, but I do want to see if I have any of my partners that I invited on tonight, Robin Williams, Trina Faison, or Felicia Bell. Anybody in the audience? Anybody in here?
Yes, Trina is here.
Hey,
Robin
Trina.
Williams is here.
Okay. We're going to start with Robin first because she's a law enforcement officer. I'm not sure if Robin is on duty in a patrol car. So we want to make sure we get her in and out so she can go ahead and do what she does down in there in the Houston area. But Robin is running for mayor of Houston, Texas for 2023. She's a phenomenal woman, a leader. Just incredible. And I resonated with her from day one, and we have not stopped collaborating and moving forward ever since, which has been well over a year now. She's near and dear to my heart. I'm her protector. She'll tell you that. And just, I think so much, so high of this woman. I'm about to cry, man. But Robin, thank you for taking time out, and please, take about 5 minutes and just tell the people why they need to support you and your campaign.
Hello. So you get to see me in my uniform. Yes, I am always working. My name is Officer Robin Williams. And Mr. Troy, you are one of a kind. I'm so glad that your mother graced us with your presence. I'm so glad that you are here. Thankful to everyone that's online with us. Just praising God for being here. Just a short story about myself. I served in the Marine Corps at the age of 19. I did 8 years 4 years reserves, 4 years active duty, but a little bit about my childhood and why nutrition plays a big role and so does mental health. I'm a mental health officer, but I watched my mom, who was a registered nurse, suffer with schizoaffective major depression throughout my childhood, and she ended up being homeless, addicted to drugs, and a victim of human trafficking. And so all while growing up and watching my mother struggle and constantly tell people, hey, I'm seeing, I'm hearing things, it was kind of brushed under the rug. And so I was raised by my grandmother, and I just vowed to always listen. And so I believe that my ears are my biggest weapon. Once you listen and you fully soak in what someone is saying, you're able to put a plan together to devise something. So I'm a very, very big active listener. And not only that, after serving in the Marine Corps, I got the opportunity at the age of 23 to be the manager of the American Red Cross, reconnecting refugees from the DR of Congo replaced by that was displaced by war. And so that was just so amazing just to connect family members that were spread abroad and bring them back to Houston, Texas. And not only that, I had an office at the VA hospital where we worked with veterans that sustained injuries to their neck. You know, they were paraplegics. They couldn't move. The VA was their forever home. So I got to communicate and talk with them, provide them with essentials, hygiene, and just remind them that you gave the ultimate sacrifice for people that, whether they believe in the United States, whether they believe in what you stood for, you paid the ultimate sacrifice by giving so much of yourself. I cannot thank you enough for allowing me to stand on your shoulders. So any veteran, any first responders, you name it, that's in the building, thank you so much. And then I had the bright idea again to put on the blue uniform that I have on now. So I was about 26, 27 when I became a police officer. And while serving as a police officer, I got to see what lurks in the dark. I got to see head on the bad stuff, what the media doesn't show. And if they do show it, the realistic part of it. And I tell people all the time, I've never hurt so much until I put on my blue uniform, because I felt the community's pain. I felt what it feels like to hug a mother that lost their child to gun violence, to suicide, to a car accident, to flooding, someone hugging someone who just lost their mom. You know, I served on one of the hardest times in Houston. I served on COVID, and I probably seen approximately 200 bodies clearing them next. Right beside our firemen. I know they pin us against each other, but we're married to each other when it comes to work. I cannot do my job without a fireman. So firemen, if you're here, firefighters, I stand with you. And they're fighting right now in Houston, Texas, just to put food on their table. So right now they're fighting for equal pay. They have to go to the Texas Supreme Court just to get equal pay. That's absurd. And not only that, you know, Houston had the freeze, and during a freeze, we lost so many people, infants to elderly personnel, and then we went on to the highest crime rate Houston has ever seen. And I realized that police officers were a propaganda. You know, we heard defund the police, but we never heard reform the police. And so many people, so many petitions were saying defund the police. But when we talk about defunding the police, we know that the first neighborhoods are going to be the neighborhoods that are minority influenced, and that those minority communities already lack police resources. So then they're going to be completely left to fend for themselves when that's absolutely in the wrong. And so I realized that one thing we all have in common, we are tired of being lied to. Whether politicians lie before our votes, whether you're clergy leaders, first responder, military personnel, you name it, we are tired of being lied to. So I stood up and said, I am going to run for the mayor of Houston, Texas, and bring all of my resources, everything I know, everything that I felt, you know, losing my brother, cousins, and uncle all to random gun violence, feeling that pain and bringing it to Houston, Texas, and exposing Houston and letting them know that they are able to thrive, and that we are going to have a mayor that will run a campaign on transparency and love. because we need to be loved regardless of gender, creed, religion, sexual orientation. One thing we all want to be is safe. And I leave you with this. Do you want to be safe? That's a million-dollar question that a lot of people don't often think about. Do you want to be safe? And thank you for allowing me to speak. Thank you so much for this platform. Thank you, Troy, for allowing me to share your platform. Thank you to all the men and women on the platform. God bless you.
Hey, Robin, thank you. And everyone on here, again, we all know somebody down there in that Houston area. So let's rally and get my girl in that mayoral seat. And she didn't tell you this. She's going to do one term as mayor, and then she will be the youngest black person to ever be governor of Texas. I don't know. You might be the youngest ever, but she will be the youngest first black governor of Texas. So thank you, Robin, for all you're doing and everything that God is using you to do. And I know you're going to maximize everything he wants you to do. So thank you so much. And next we have another incredible woman. Again, God just aligns me with these incredible women. But that's my mother. My mother was the ultimate supporter, the uplifter of women. And to honor her, I got to do that. So Trina Faison, who I've known about 2 months, but it seems like 20 years, is, we call ourselves the 20 twin because she's a microcosm of myself. We're tireless workers. We love people. We will do whatever we need to do to make somebody happier than they are. And Trina is the vice president, and I'm forgetting with titles. We don't care about titles, but I want to just, she's one of the leaders of the gifting of a lifetime experience that I was talking about with the transplant recipients. So Trina, welcome and thank you.
Thank you. Thank you so much. And thank you for this opportunity to speak on this amazing platform. So one of the concerns about the gifting of a lifetime experience that we focus on is organ donation, transplants and organ donation. So we find ourselves as a community in such a health impact situation constantly. And one of the issues that we deal with is not only diabetes, but when it's time to, have your transplant after your dialysis, you know, we are one of the top, I would say, cultures that deal with dialysis. And there's not enough education, first of all, to speak to those that have dialysis about transplants. So we want to bring education, one, to preventive, of kidney issues in the first place, but also to educate on if you have to go through dialysis, there are options. And one of the options is a transplant. And so for those that have transplants, we're learning that one of the difficulties for people is to afford, for them to afford their medication. So, and medication can run anywhere between $2,000 to $3,000 a month. And even with insurance coverage, a typical patient will still have anywhere between $100 to $150 per month that they would need to pay out of pocket. And that's really hard for most people today, even middle class. We're talking about lifetime medication, medication that you will need for the rest of your life. And so the young man who founded Gifting of a Lifetime Experience, his name is Patrick Rogers. He himself has had a transplant. And during the process of him getting his transplant or before getting his transplant, they question his checking account, basically saying, hey, you need to have $5,000 or $6,000 in your account prior to even us even looking at you, which is absurd. But that is the you know, that is who we are. I'm not going to get into the insurance or the hospital, but unfortunately, that's what most people have to deal with in order to get transplants. So Patrick Rogers, he wanted to create a foundation, which he has, which will assist patients with their medical costs. So not only does he want to pay for that $5,000 or $6,000 in the beginning, so after you have your transplant, but he also wants to cover the cost of the yearly, you know, every single year you will need a certain amount of funds to cover your anti-rejection medication. So I'm sitting on the board along with several other leaders, and we have been working hard to make sure we're getting the word out. We're in the hospitals. We started in Florida. We just had a conversation with the hospital at Event Health today. And so he wants to make sure that he takes care of these patients. He now is in the situation where the kidney that he had did reject. So he is now on the list to get another transplant. And he actually needs a heart and a kidney now. Which I think he's on now, but nevertheless, the organization is going to help millions of people not only help millions of people, but their families and save organs. Because what we've learned as well is that the people that have had transplants, and most of them in, you know, in urban areas, I would say, they lose their transplants because they can't afford the medicine. And it's just really unfortunate. And they can't get transplants because they don't have the funds to get the transplant. So I just want to give it up to Patrick Rogers because, and it's really close to my heart because myself, I'm a transplant recipient, and although I didn't have to go through this particular situation, I am on anti-rejection medication, and I couldn't imagine not being able to afford it. But there are so many people who cannot afford it. So, and that's why I'm so proud of Patrick, because he's a hero in my book, and he just wants to help millions of people, and we are going to help millions and millions of people. And with that, I'm going to give it back to you, Troy. Thank you so much for the opportunity.
Thank you, Trina. Again, those are two examples of serving with people who serve. And I'm proud of that fact. And as she said, Patrick he's a hero, right? Anyone in my book that serves people and puts people before themselves is a hero. And I know everybody in this room is a hero to somebody. And that's one of the things that drew me to David's team at the National Black Unity News. When I was part of that meeting last week, it was incredible, the love. And I could relate to everything and everybody in that room. But unity is so important. Moving into what I call Psalms 23, 2023, it's going to be the year that the Lord is going to be all of our shepherds, and we're not going to want for nothing, because we've been obedient, we've been consistent, we've been aligning ourselves with like-minded and like-hearted, like-spirited people, and we are about to do something that no other generation has done: work together in unification to make all of our dreams and our visions come to light. And that's going to be a special thing. And I'm just overjoyed in the midst of it as it's unfolding. And every day, today I had a talk with a gentleman who owns a national company. They're the leader in franchising and franchise development, business financing, business growth. They're doing so much. And we had an in-depth conversation about bringing his resources to our community He's of Pakistani descent, so he's a brother, and he understands everything I told him, and I cannot wait till we solidify that partnership, because we're going to enable a lot of businesses to be born. And for those businesses, like David might want to franchise National Black Unity News, he has the blueprint to do that. You talk about exciting after a meeting. I had to go work out. I was so excited. But the other thing, David, and I know I'm getting close to my time. I believe I am. I want to mention my backdrop and my hoodie here, the BHNI, the Black and Hispanic Nutrition Initiative. And we have a collection of 9 pastors. We have health and nutrition coaches. We have mental health. We have domestic violence. We have financial coaches on this program. And we do free webinars around the world. Free webinars to teach people how to put themselves in a better position for their health and their wealth. And it's a resource that has been there for women that, for whatever reason, they had no place else to turn. They needed to talk to a pastor. I was able to connect someone, a woman going through some domestic issues. She didn't feel comfortable talking to me. I said, would you like me to connect you with one of our women pastors? And I did. And she worked it out. Confidential. I didn't need to know what they talked about. But she utilized that resource. And that's one example of what we've been able to do with this platform going on 3 years now. And I want to mention one last thing. And I want to make this available to anyone out there that has content and they want to get their content. I have a streaming TV network, the RCG Global TV Network. It's international. And we just partnered up with another entity that has 80 million subscribers. So talk about getting your brand, getting your message out there. Please contact me so I can work with you and we can all just collaborate and get each other out there to the front and center where people know who you are, they know what you do, and let's just have an amazing 2023. Go into 2023 strong, running. Don't just start in January. Pick it up right now, and I look forward to collaborating with everyone on this platform. So David Murphy, my man, my brother, my mentor, my elder, thank you so much, brother, and I love you for what you do and who you are.
I appreciate you, sir. You know, I'm just so amazed at how God works. And I just, now, at this time of my life, I just sit back and watch him work. And I just wanted to share this with you because my mind was going in so many different places as you, as well as your guest, spoke about connecting with one another. Do you know, as we speak, one of our editors, and I'm doing the website for her, she putting together an initiative for health and wellness. And this is going to be such a huge format for anybody in the health, wellness, financing, fitness, diet, everything on there. And it's a one-stop shop for people, not only for our professionals to share their gifts and their talents with masses of people, but it's also going to have with memberships in there with millions of people going to be involved where they can have alternatives, holistic health. They can see it, you know, all type of information going to be in all different disciplines. And I appreciate it if, brother, you give me your information so I want to share because we're going to have a special meeting in a couple of weeks. We're just going to kick it off in a few weeks, and I want to invite your guests on there, Patrick, Trina, and I'm going to tell you, you know, right now, because we're just in the beginning stages of this thing, I would love to have you on the website, you know, front and center about your project. And this, like I said, this thing will be huge. And Mayor, you know, we got a brother right here. As a matter of fact, he's sitting in the next box from you. Mr. Neil Spencer, he's from the Texas area, too. I know Texas is a big place, big state. But like I say, but he dealt with business, Mr. Neil Spencer. And I would hope that y'all, you know, share information with one another. And so, you know, so that, because you never know who knows who, you know, but every, you know, everybody can help each other out. And so, brother, I appreciate you and the works that you're doing. And all I can see is connecting dots all over the place. It's happening and it's happening now.
Yes.
You know, no more excuses for us. You know, we have everything we need. Just look around us. I mean, it's all over the place, you know, so it's time, you know. And before, you know, before we open up the format for everybody to, you know, may want to ask you some questions and everything, I want to bring this brother on for, you know, before he had to leave, Brother Cliff, because he have an upcoming event. Now, I want him to get that out real quick, and then we can come back to you, brother, and we, you know, share some information with one another. And how we can connect. I mean, everything that was mentioned so far, there's somebody on there, like Brother High Key. He's a first responder, you know. And like I say, Mr. Neil Spencer, he's from the Texas area, you know. So we have, you know, like I say, we have all types of people that really can connect with one another. All right, so Brother Cliff, I want you to unmute yourself, sir. How are you?
Greetings. How's everything?
Everything is just great, sir. You know, you have a major event coming up, so I want you to share that with everybody because this is important to all of us.
Okay. Well, I guess how one perceives it depends on again, what one's position is with regard to really building Pan-African unity. Over the last year, we have been gradually putting together what I have tentatively referred to as a Maryland Pan-African Cooperative Coalition, or MPAC. Call it a cooperative coalition instead of a united front, primarily because of the fact that it seems that every time we call something a united front, something happens to disunite it. So instead, I'm calling it a cooperative coalition to try to emphasize the idea that we have to come together in a cooperative way and not a competitive way. The background of my Zoom feed is actually a conceptual model of what it is that I'm talking about as far as a potential structure, as opposed to the hierarchical structure that a lot of organizations tend to adopt, where there is a president or a person up at the top and then graduating levels of supervision below, which to my mind doesn't do too much more other than to either develop a cult of personality or to foster competition, or even sometimes foster a little enmity between the people on the bottom and the people on the top. What we want to emphasize is the notion that we have a variety of organizers and activists from a variety of disciplines, areas of commitment, areas of expertise, whatever you want to call them, from the cultural to the spiritual to the grassroots, education, legal, media, government or state building, business, science, health and wellness, international organizing, prison outreach, and revolutionary Pan-Africanism. Bring all of those different types of organizations together and intentionally bring all those different types of organizations together so that their different ideas can contribute to a holistic and basically comprehensive solution to a lot of the problems that we face, especially considering that we as a community are beset by assaults, attacks, challenges from all of these different directions at once. No one of those specific types of organizations is going to be able to single-handedly lift us to freedom, because each of those organizations may be concentrating on one of those areas, like economics, while we're being assaulted by all the others at the same time. I use Black Wall Street as an example of how the claim that economics is the way we must lift ourselves up as being incomplete, because while it lifted us up economically, they were destroyed by a military-style attack. I use Wilmington, North Carolina, 1897, as an example of how political organizing alone is not enough, because they were destroyed by a racist vigilante backlash for which they were not prepared. The Black Panther Party even had a 12-point platform. They had community organizing. They had political education. They had free breakfast program. They had community armed self-defense. But they were brought down by a combination of infiltration, media demonization, and essentially the simultaneous prosecution of their leadership all at once. So even a program as wide-ranging as what the Panthers had wasn't broad enough to deal with the attacks coming from all different directions. So what we're trying to do is we're trying to bring together organizers and activists from all these different areas with all sorts of different orientations to come together for a cooperative, collective solution. The only requirement that we have for people who want to become involved in this is that, number one, they are sincere about what it is that they are saying. Number two, that they're serious about what they mean with regard to bringing Black people together. It's not just a matter of Black people must come together under my leadership, which unfortunately is what too many of us say. It has to be Black people come together, bring their own vision, their own ideas, and let us come together and put our heads together in a cooperative manner to build that. So toward that end, we've been having meetings of this Maryland Pan-African Cooperative Coalition roughly every month. We've been primarily doing them on Wednesdays. We didn't have an October meeting, or is it a November meeting we didn't have? I can't remember. End of October, early November, we did not meet. But we do plan to meet this coming Wednesday, that's December 7th, at 7 o'clock p.m. I've sent out a preliminary invitation. The Zoom link I'm going to send out tonight, probably shortly after this Zoom call is done. And I'll make sure that that Elder David Murphy gets the Zoom link, and the people who are already on the mailing list will get the Zoom link. And anyone on this call who is interested in coming to that meeting, you are invited to come on board. We have a couple of things that we want to talk about. We're in the process of trying to move forward. There is a community education project that we're hoping to finish kind of developing, bringing together a lot of the different community organizations like Pan-African Liberation Movement, different kind of smart roots of scouting that are conducting community-based programs for young people, bring them together with a lot of the institutions like Break Blacks and Wax Museum, Sankofa Children's Museum, and places of that nature, and try to see if we can come up with some kind of a comprehensive, cooperative, coordinated program so that no matter where you are in the city of Baltimore, hopefully eventually across the state of Maryland, you'll know where you can go to get this kind of community-based Pan-African education for your children and even for your adults. So that's one thing that we're going to be talking about. Of course, we want to make sure we support the National Black Unity News in those meetings in an attempt to not only raise the profile of National Black Unity News, but also see who in the coalition is interested in becoming a part of the National Black Unity News so that then they can essentially lend a lot of what they understand, what they know to the publication itself. There are a couple of other things that will flow around. Sometimes people have events like Kwanzaa's coming, so it's often a good idea just to share that kind of information about what the different organizations and all are doing. This year, we've primarily been in a getting to know you phase where everyone kind of gets a feel for who the different organizers are. And hopefully in 2023, we'll be able to really start kicking off some of the things that we've been kind of theoretically bouncing around. So that's pretty much all I wanted to say about that. And I noticed that that brother Troy Richardson, I believe from the phone number, it looks like you're in D.C. And and you're dealing with the Black and Hispanic Nutrition Initiative, and health and wellness seem to be one of those areas that when we bring our people together, we sometimes seem to have a hard time finding people who really are knowledgeable in the areas of health and wellness, not only in terms of cosmetics and beauty products that are healthy, but also in terms of nutrition, also in terms of what Sister Trina was talking about with regard to people who have survived transplant and have to go through those kinds of health challenges. And there are a whole lot of health challenges that our community faces, more so than most others, it seems. And I think that's one of those areas that we need to really start concentrating on and bringing people into these kinds of cooperative efforts. So I'm really looking forward to finding out more about what you and all of the, both of your guests are talking about. I know that the whole question of police and police reform and police defunding and police this and that, I know that's a big deal also. And I think it's important that we get as many perspectives on that as we can, so that when we do make whatever decisions we're going to make with regard to reforming police departments and police behaviors, because some cops do some really bad stuff, but a lot of cops really do a lot of heroic things as well. And so to find a way to deal with those kinds of issues from as many of those aspects as possible without harming our community, I think it's an important thing. At any rate, having run off at the mouth for the last several minutes, I'm going to shut it down. I am not going to go. I'm going to sit here and check out the entire show. So back to all of you, and thanks for this extended period of time to talk.
I appreciate that. See, Brother Cliff is one of those brothers, man, you know, has a solution where we all can come together. And there ain't no big eyes and little me's and all of that kind of stuff, because we can all bring our resources together and do what we continue to do, but we can do it collectively. And Brother Troy Richardson, I want everybody, you know, if anybody have any questions or just want to share some information about who they are and what they do, this is the time to do it. And we have several of our members on here. Brother, I just want to recognize Dr. McKenzie. Dr. Pender's on with us. Ms. Harris, who's into fashion. And, Dr. Ali. And she, Brother Troy Richardson, I really want you to, I'll make that connection between you and Dr. Ali. I think y'all really need to talk. And we got Brother Winston on here, Mr. Neil Spencer. I saw Mr. William Parker was on there earlier. I don't know if he's still with us. And Brother Rico Crowley, he deals with the homeless and the needy. He has a program called God-Given Hands and does wonderful works. And so, you know, so we have a host of people on. That's why I say we have everything we need. And it's just a very small percentage of us. And so we have the networks. We have everything we need, and all we need to do is just start pulling our resources together. Now, we even have, like I say, Brother Cliff, and I think Brother High Key is on here. They recently just came back from Panama, and they took our publication. See, wherever they go, our publication go, and our publication has gone global. And we met this wonderful gentleman, Brother Ross Buki is on here from Panama. And I just want to recognize him. And Brother Roswell, can you unmute yourself, sir?
Yes, good night. Blessed love, family. The joy to hear. What a meeting. What a platform. What a power. What a love. This is what we're waiting for. I love it very much. I'm enjoying it. I'm very much enjoying it. So, Brother Troy, yes, we could do something here in Panama. He says Hispanic. Pertaining to his what was up some of his presentation that he made there. Yes, we could assist him in if he want to take his thing outside of the United States. We are here in Panama, and we are here to host and to do the best to spread the good message and the good works for Black people unity. Africa must unite. Africa must be free. One love.
Appreciate you, sir. Yes. Brother Haki. Brother Haki is a first responder, so he may be working. So, you know, Brother Haki, can you unmute yourself?
Greetings, brothers. Yeah, I'm good today. How y'all doing?
You're doing great, sir.
Yes, great. No, I've been listening to everything, so I'm a little multitasking, but it's good to hear and see everyone. And good to see Brother Buki and Brother Cliff, and thanks, Brother Troy, for joining us. I did get a chance to follow that mayor. That's very interesting, her story. So it's beautiful to hear all of that. Wish her luck on those operations, and if I can be of any assistance in, you know, just advisement, definitely active here in the Baltimore and the state of Maryland for several boards. But I'm the president of the Teaching Artists Institute. But, you know, to be real quick, we just got back from Kenya, actually, 2-3 weeks ago, had amazing experience, lots of connections established there. And actually next week, I'll just, you know, close and say the president of Kenya will be in the D.C. area. So if anyone interested, maybe some free more spaces, no cost of that, but there's also what's called a US/Africa investment conference that we actually have several speakers. I think Brother Cliff, you know, I believe you're speaking as well. Hopefully you got the message. You're on the list, but.
I did get an email about the U.S. Africa Investment Summit. I also got one about the U.S. Africa Leaders Summit, and I even saw a Facebook post from James Early about what they're saying is a people's intervention on the U.S. Africa Leaders Summit. So there could be three things going on at the same time.
Oh wow! Yes. So lots of things going on, but yeah. So. But yeah, I'm excited about what, you know, the work is being done towards that end. And only other thing, just on the local real quick, that coming up in for Black History Month, Brother Carl Nelson will be coming to the Maryland area. And actually, I got a confirmation for that. He'll be at the Black Men's Breakfast. So just want to plug that really early, and, you know, get all of our brothers out, and hopefully we do something in the afternoon or evening where, you know, he can meet the sisters who may desire to come out. Carl Nelson, for those who may not know, he's on the local radio. Well, not local, but, you know, he's in the WOL, WOLB market. So I do a lot of his, you know, organizing work, you know, for him on the ground in Baltimore. So yeah, that's it, brother. So just, you know, thank everybody. Continue to work. I'm pleased to keep the National Black Unity newspaper alive and going.
Sir,
I'd like to say, David, I'd like to just ask you to connect all of us, because there's so much synergy there. Hakeem, definitely need to connect with you. You guys are right up the street. Cliff, same thing. Carl, same thing. My brother in Panama is kind of funny. There was a sister who reached out to me months ago. She wanted to bring the skincare line over there, but she had some family matters that rose up, and we just lost contact. So I know there is an interest to bring the skincare over here, but as you said, with the BHNI, all day. We are global. We're in Africa, Kenya. You mentioned you guys went to Kenya, Lagos, Nigeria, Ghana, Cameroon, Sierra Leone. We're a global entity because, as you know, our brothers and sisters are all over this kingdom world. So many that we don't even know exist. So my thing is to unite the entire kingdom of brothers and sisters around this world. That's what God wants me to do, and that's the purpose that I live by every day. So, yes, let's connect, let's collaborate, let's elevate, let's innovate, and let's get it done.
All right. It's done deal, far as I'm concerned. Brother Neil Spencer, how are you, sir? You can unmute yourself. Hopefully you get around to that. And oh, there you go. Yes, sir.
Hello.
How you doing? Yes,
can
sir.
You hear me?
Yes, I can hear you loud and clear.
Greetings to everyone. How you doing?
I'm doing. And what part of Texas are you from?
Sherman, Texas, 60 miles north of Dallas.
Okay.
Right on the Oklahoma border.
Okay. And sister, was it Robinson?
Robin Williams.
Robin Williams. Yeah, I'm old and can't see. In any case, I would hope that you two make some type of connection, because my brother here is organizing black businesses in the area. And you know, when we could connect like that, you never know the support that, you know, that you can garnish when we start working together. And so I appreciate you, Mr. Neil Spencer. I mean, he does a great work. He's the editor in the publication. And I'm trying to move on because of time purposes. Dr. Pender, can you unmute yourself, sir? Dr. Pender.
Yes, you know, I'm here. How's everyone?
Yes, sir. Now, I want to introduce this gentleman because...
We've already been introduced.
Yeah, I got a little age on me, but he has a little bit more than I. but he's been around for a long time organizing, been on the front line. He has a battle scars to prove it, and he's still out there, you know, putting in work and making changes, and he got a lot of wonderful things. He's an author. He's so many different things. And so what you got going on, sir?
Well, your guest tonight and I have already mingled our thoughts together, and we're going to rule the world
right.
For a moment. Well, with the Lord's help, because we're about people. And if you look at this whole process of the National Black Unity News and all of the wonderful people who are involved, we're people persons. And what happened with that, we create a lot of energies and synergies. We create a lot of not void spaces, but we create a lot of good spaces where people can grow. And so I think it's one of the best things in the world that we commingle ourselves together with others who have extraordinary talents, especially the lady down in Texas. And she made my day, you know, like she got the pencil both ways. So, I'm saying that personally, that National Black Unity News and all of its cohorts and followers, keep on doing a great job, and keep up the good work.
Dr. Nama Ali, can you unmute yourself, please?
Good evening, everyone.
And I believe you are, like I say, I don't dot my I's and cross my T's all the time, but you're an esthetician too, right?
Yes, I'm an esthetician specializing in skin and body care, and I'm a certified wellness consultant. Yes, I'm excited about the call, and yeah, we're going to definitely have to connect with you guys, because the most important thing is getting our people to understand the importance of taking care of their own health. We can't depend on others to do it for us. It's something that we have to do for ourselves. And I'm just wanting our people to understand that, you know, yes, we have the westernized way of doing things, but we also, our ancestors, we were the ones who brought in all natural things, natural herbs, natural spices, essential oils, and that's the way to go. And I'm excited about introducing it all to the communities to get our people healed from the inside out, spirit, soul, and body, and we have to do it the natural way. You know, I encourage people to eat right, because, you know, putting that dead food on your fork every time you pick it up, you're not thinking about what you're putting in your mouth. So my thing is helping our people to just balance themselves out and to make sure that they are, you know, just taking care of themselves, not depending on anybody else. We've depended on people for years. You know, and what have we gotten for that? We've got to learn how to study for ourselves, read for ourselves, educate ourselves so that we continue to live, to be strong for a long time, because we have work to do. You know, we've been behind the totem pole for years, and now our season is here, our time is here, but we have to do it with a healthy body. You know, that's just where I am right now, making sure that we live long and strong, doing right by ourselves, you know, doing right by our children and our family members, because you can do it, you know.
That's right.
I'm excited about all the links, you know, skincare. Skincare is important. Our skin is the largest organ of our bodies, and everything we put on the body goes inside. And we just have to make sure that everything that we put in and on our body is organic and 100% living. It regenerates new cell growth. That's what we're here to do, is to grow and to live long and strong.
Okay, I appreciate you.
Go ahead, sister. Got me all fired up over here.
Yes, my brother, that's what it's all about.
Y'all see this glow? Y'all see this glow? That's natural exfoliation. I'm trying to tell you.
You better go ahead, brother, because you know people see me because I go, Dr. Ali, what you doing? No, if you're not exfoliating, getting rid of that dead skin, you got to regenerate new cell growth. And the people don't even understand. Regenerate new cell growth and your skin will stay youthful and for years. I see that skin, my brother.
Teach, preach. All right. All right. Okay. We got a young lady on here. Sister Harris, how you doing, young lady? Can you unmute yourself, please? Right, give
Sorry,
her a second.
I'm cooking.
Okay. Well, just make sure you're making up for two or three. All right.
How about 15?
Hi, everybody. I'm Danielle Harris. Nonprofit organization is called Dieto Corporation. And what I do is teach people how to be fashionably sustainable through information webinars, and redesigning clothes. And the other thing that I like to do is host a networking event and hosting online interviews. And I will soon be doing a podcast with Mr. David Murphy soon and my Uncle Vernon. So, yeah, look forward to that.
All right, we got some serious movers and shakers on here tonight. And Brother Vernon, how about you, sir? How you doing?
All right, good evening, everyone.
Yes, sir, what you got going on, sir?
Okay, I'd like to give kudos to everyone out there tonight. That's on the podcast tonight, part of the National Black Unity News. What I have going, I have a network called Unity TV, and it's a network. We're networking. Actually, tonight I was over at Dr. Lady J's studio, and she's broadcasting right now. I think David, you and Bill was on there earlier tonight, but you guys didn't see me, but I was there at the studio. She has the broadcast now. Also, I'd like to give kudos to Michael Haney, Black USA News TV. He also is having a broadcast tonight. That's why those two people are not, powerhouses are not on tonight.
Mm-hmm.
But like David was saying, I have a network called, Unity TV Network. And, we're just expanding. We've been in existence for 2 years and we're still growing. And I'd just like to thank everyone, a lot of information, and definitely need to get in contact, make some contacts, and keep it moving.
All right. And my brother, Dr. Leroy McKenzie, how are you, sir?
I'm good. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir, loud and clear.
good evening. This has been an awesome, meeting that we've had this evening. It just shows you just all of the great things that we as Black people have going on. You're not going to hear about these kinds of things in mainstream media. These are the kinds of things that folks need to be plugged into in order to be able to have access to relationships and to the importance of relationships and resources. And like Brother Cliff has in his background there, the ecosystem, the business ecosystem that that we must have if we're going to uplift and make our communities even stronger than what they are. But Brother Troy, are you able to please put your contact information and like your business website and all of that in the chat for us, please?
Yes, sir. Absolutely.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
And what do you do, sir?
For the National Black Unity News, I am the author showcase co-editor, which, by the way, we are looking for authors that are, that want to be a part of the showcase for the first of the year. This will be, I think this will be our fifth year, if I'm not mistaken. It's either the fourth or fifth year. And it has just been absolutely phenomenal, all of the authors and the all of the stories that have been told, all of the people that we've had to be able to come through the author showcase, and just looking forward to just another great year for the National Black Unity News. We are growing. We are doing some great and phenomenal things, some impactful things, and just spreading our wings. And I'm just tickled pink and watching and seeing what God is doing through us in here. This is truly a family. This is truly people that are that assist other people in making them better. And that's what I so much enjoy about being a part of this family.
I appreciate you, sir. Really do. I really appreciate
Absolutely.
You. And we got a brother on there, Rico Crowley from God Given Hands. And if you know Rico, if you'd like to, Brother Rico, if you'd like to share some words, if you know, I will. You know, Brother Rico. Well, let me do it this way. Brother Rico runs a program called God's Giving Hands. And what he does, he helps the homeless and the needy. He has such a powerful operation. And I had the pleasure of serving with him one day. And I've seen he had about 30, 40 people in this camp working out, and they put out hot food, clothing, toiletries, all sorts of things. And they served a long line of people. And then just like a military thing, they packed all that stuff up and put it in vehicles and stuff and went to another location, unpacked it, and start all over for another large group of people. I was so impressed with that operation, but I was more impressed with the people that was giving and those who was receiving. I mean, it was, like I said, it was just a blessed occasion because to see that people really care about each other. And I want to just thank my brother for the services that he provides. And we have another brother on here. In our earlier days in publication, he was an editor in the publication. But unfortunately, my brother had some serious illnesses, and he's still in recovery. And that's Brother Winston is on here. Brother Winston, you'd like to share something? Because he's an entrepreneur, too. Has great aspirations, great ideas. Brother Winston, how are you? I hope you can unmute. But if not, we're going to move right on. Brother Winston?
Going all right. Still here, brother.
Yeah. You want to share anything tonight, sir?
Well, we have to retool. Yes, indeed, you're correct. I had a very serious health challenge, and I'm recovering, but I still haven't lost some momentum from wanting to get this business up and running. So it's called Network, EBWORC, National Economic Black Worth Original Commercial. So we want to highlight a lot of black-owned businesses that ordinarily don't get that kind of attention. You know, local business, national businesses, and that sort of thing. I think that, you know, if anyone has, you know, some, and I definitely want to reconnect with Brother Streeter. Yes. Brother Murphy, yes. We're going to reconnect.
Okay, I appreciate that.
Yes. And Brother McKenzie, is he still available? He's still here?
Yes, I'm still here.
Yes, you work with a friend of mine that was helping me to develop early on. That is Catherine Trotter.
Yes, I still work with Catherine. Absolutely.
Oh, yes. she was early on in helping to develop. Yes. So we have, as Brother Murphy always says, we have all that we need. We have it. And so we just need to put it in the right places.
Right.
And get those things moving along. But thank you for this platform, David.
I appreciate you, sir. You know, speedy recovery, sir.
Thank you.
And Brother Troy, I think I had the opportunity to meet this gentleman, and I would love for everybody else to meet him as well, if he cared to share, and that's Brother Pat. Brother Patrick, can you unmute yourself, sir?
Patrick, are you there, brother? Don't be shy, man. This is family.
Yes, I'm here. I'm here. I'm sorry. I was talking, and I guess I had it on mute. I'm here. I didn't hear the question.
No, I was just asking, you know, because, you know, a lot was said about your program and about you personally. And it would be a nice opportunity to tell people what you're going through and what you're doing.
Yeah, we can get out there and just tell everybody, you know, to further the project on to get to where it need to be. And I would love to talk, tell them about my story. No problem.
Okay. Well, I tell you what, like I say, I have a platform that I'm working with a young lady on there, and I would get with Brother Troy because I think, you know, I would love to see, when I first met you all, you know, I said there was some, you know, some avenues that I can, you know, help out with. And, okay. I will be speaking to you all about that real soon, very soon. And
okay.
Because, like I say, we have, like I say, connections all over the place, but, like I say, things are finally coming together, and, you know, well, this time in my life, you know, we go through many stages, but this time around, I cannot see us not coming together. I've never seen such, not only with the National Black Unity News, but I'm talking about all of these other organizations, the initiatives that's taking place today, right now as we speak. We got people here, there, and everywhere doing great and wonderful things. And there's no excuses anymore for us, you know, none whatsoever. Right here, if you were listening to what people were saying, we had media sources, 4 or 5 of them right here. We got 6 or 7 authors on here right now. We have people in the fashion, health, everything. We have all of this right now, just on the small group right here, right here,
mm-hmm.
Food services. I mean, man, I didn't tell you my stuff yet, but like I say, we connect the dots, and where I sit, it is so great to see not only God working all of y'all individual lives, but on a collective basis, because this is way bigger than each and every one of us, and by design, by divine intervention and inspiration, God is truly moving on us as a people. It's our time. It's our time to show the world how it should be done. We had it. It's in us. You know, we're not like the other sources out there. You know, we know how to do it right. And that's why those of us, it's a multitude of us out there, but it's only the handful that's going to do the work, set the programs up. And y'all, I hope you don't get offended, but I call you the chosen ones. Because not only did you hear, you're actually doing it. You're not just talking, you're actually doing. And so with that being said, Brother Troy, I'm going to give you the pleasure and the honor and the privilege to bring so much to the table. I want you to kind of close us out, brother, and you know, reintroduce your people and make sure that you and I are already connected, but I just want to make sure that if you can give them my information, because like I said, everybody's, like I say, doing so many wonderful things, and I have ways of connecting some dots, and we need to do that immediately. So you got it, brother.
Well, again, man, thank you for the opportunity. God bless all my kings and queens in this platform, and I'll put my information in the chat. I put the website for Patrick in the chat. If you need to get in touch with Robin, let's connect, right? Robin is all about collaboration like anybody else. I also want to mention that we just formed a partnership with Dr. Stacy Lang. If you guys don't know about her, she's a $500 million woman. Proud of that partnership. And we have a panel going on this weekend featuring Les Brown. So get at me so I can get you that. It's free. It's going on Saturday and Sunday. It's going to be phenomenal. A lot of guests on there. I won't be speaking on this one because I came in too late, but I'll be on the next one for sure. And just a lot going on. So again, the key is unification, man. Let's just put our talents, our God-given gifts together, and together we unstoppable, man. You know, $1.6 trillion in black wealth last year. That's, if that was a country, we would be the eighth largest nation. You talk about power, but the only thing is we're not unified. So we're not maximizing all that power that we have. So it's up to us, the chosen ones. Thank you, David. I embrace it. I receive it. It's up to us to lead by example, to let everyone else know that we can do it. We can be mightier than anybody out there when we're together. Like we got brothers knocking Kyrie Irving, all these so-called self-appointed leaders by the media telling black people who they need to look up to. No, it's not these sports people. It's not the celebrities, not all of them. It's leaders like David Murphy, like Dr. Ali, like Cliff, like Patrick, like Trina. I can go on and on. These are true black leaders. Enough of these media-fed black leaders who they want to be the puppet to the rest of our community. Them days are over.
Yes, sir.
I can tell you, them days are over. I hope you had a good time because it's over. We coming. Psalms 23, we coming, y'all. So God bless y'all. I love y'all again. I put all my information in the chat. David, connect me with everybody. I'm going to connect everybody with everybody because this is what we do. I love y'all. I love y'all. I love y'all.
All right. And tomorrow night, ladies and gentlemen, you all are invited to our business call tomorrow, the National Black Unity News Call. This is just a little different format. But like I say, we are preparing to put our January issue together. And I encourage those who have not got on board yet, this is the time to do so. The windows is closing real soon. But you know, we have all of these resources, but I'm going to tell you something. The National Black Unity News gets into places where a lot of people don't go, where other media won't go. And, you know, we have techniques. I'm an old school marketer. You know, I know how to get to places where, you know, a lot of people, like I say, I've been around the block once or twice. But nowhere do you find a publication like the National Unity News because it's the people. You see, we have people, man, that come from their heart. They're not what you consider journalists. We call them editors, but, you know, that's just a terminology. But these are servants, people who have served, people who have put in work, people who are making changes in our lives. And collectively, like I say, nowhere in the world I could assemble such a great group of people. Only God can do something like that. But since that is in play, then can you imagine? Just think about this. Just a small group here. If y'all was in the National Black Unity News, so we got a brother here from Panama. Brother just came from Africa. And if you would hear the response from people internationally, what they say about the National Black Unity News, first and foremost, most people had never seen that many of us in any publication. I'm talking about newspaper. Never, ever. 14 of us on the front page. You know, that's bigger than most other newspapers, their whole staff, you know, pretty much. But I'm not going up against anybody because we all in this together. But I'm just saying this. I take the paper wherever I go, and I go to many places. Brother High Key takes it off. I mean, we all take this publication, and we go our ways with it, with our own networks. So I don't know where to take. People say, what's your circulation? What's this and what? I can't tell you that. But I don't even know. But I do know we go far and wide, and we reach people all over the place. And so the door's open. Come on in. Things are happening. And we're coming where you are. We're going to connect. We're going to work together. I'm just going to say this. I'm going to say good night to each and every one of you. And if you can, come on tomorrow at 7:30. And especially if you can come on Wednesday on Brother Cliff event. And because like I say, it's a powerful day. Even if you're not in there, you need to come on there because this is a solution-oriented and the type of information that you can take back to where you are. And we have a lot of organizations that's involved with this paper. You know, I mean, if I, you know, just look at it.
Brother,
all right.
I have it here in my hand.
Yes, sir.
I have a newspaper right here in my hand.
Yes, sir. I see it. And but in any case, you know, like I say, I want to thank each and every one, and a special thanks to my brother Troy Richardson. Man, I appreciate you. I have much love and respect for you, sir. And it's so good to know a brother like you exists because you're doing it. You're not just talking about you actually doing it, brother. And it encourages me, and it should encourage us to know that we can, and we are, and we will continue because, like I say, ain't no giving up in me. And, you know, you know, so, but anyway, and Brother Cliff, you know, I mean, we got soldiers on here. All right, so I'm going to say good night.
And by the way, the invitation for the Zoom call, I just sent it out a few minutes ago.
Okay,
so,
great.
So, Baba David, you should be getting it. And anyone who left email in the chat should get it. And good to see Ross Buki again. We talked on Zoom a little while ago. And, of course, haven't seen each other in person since Panama. But all of you are invited to come on board and to check out kind of where we're trying to take this thing.
Right. And so, and Brother Troy, you know, if you when you have your, I know you already invited us, but, you know, I would love for you to keep us informed because so we can support your efforts as well. I appreciate you.
Absolutely.
All right. Good night, y'all. Take care.
Good night, everyone.
Good evening.
Good night.
Good night. Good night.
If y'all need any information, holler at me.